This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Begin. Hello and welcome to My Favorite Murder,
the Minnesota,
where we read your shit to you.
Do you like it?
We like it.
So last week we did all of our people that were hiding secret lives, mm-hmm. and which was super fun, and we got so many that we will definitely continue to do them. But at one point we veered off into an interesting anonymous donors, people that were doing positive things with their secret lives.
Yes, I remember.
Not everyone's starting a multiple family. There were some good parts. And my beautiful friend Jason Lopez, who... Steven, you know him too. Mm-hmm. Who listens to every single episode and always the day after anything of ours comes out, mm-hmm. he'll let me know what his observations are on the episode. Mm-hmm. And so after that last minisode, he wrote to me, Ethos, the music program for kids here in Portland, is a nonprofit that provides group lessons, music camps, etc. And after Prince died, they found out that he was one of their anonymous donors.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then he said, isn't that random? Just a little music school here in Portland. And I said, that's because that means he was doing it everywhere. Oh. I bet you everywhere Prince went.
Yeah.
Because Prince was like a kid in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like he knows what it's like to be a super talent that's out in the middle of nowhere, just kind of waiting for your chance.
Yeah.
So you know that he just sprinkled his shit around anonymously. I love that.
That's beautiful.
Prince.
Thanks, Prince.
Let's all take a moment to thank Prince. Okay, do you want me to go first?
Oh, sure.
The headline of this is the subject line. My mom's ex-fiance tried to blow up her house, and that is how she met my dad, South African hometown.
Cool.
This, the brand new. We've never had one from South Africa.
I don't think we have.
Dearest Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and animal compadres. Don't mind it. Mm-mm. When my mom was in her 20s, she started dating a guy, and they eventually got engaged and moved in together. My grandparents were always a bit skeptical of the dude and thought he was a creep, but they went along with it out of respect for my mom. As an avid gym bunny in the 80s, my mom wore spandex bodysuits and tights to her workouts, accompanied with a hairsprayed brush of curly hair and neon socks.
Amazing.
We could stop there and I'd be great.
Yeah.
When she arrived home one day after a gym session, her then fiance started beating her up for, quote, dressing like a slut to the gym and accused her of seeking other men's attention. In parentheses, it says toxic masculinity ruins the party. Mm-hmm. Again, my mom stayed sexy and noped out of there, broke off their engagement, and drove her little Volkswagen Beetle back to my grandparents' house, where she endured many I told you so's from my gran. That night, after everyone had gone to bed, my mom awoke to a massive crash and smelled smoke. She saw an orange flicker through her window and saw smoke coming out of the area where the car was parked under my granddad's little car park outside. My grandparents, my mom, and my aunt rushed outside and found my mom's ex-fiance speeding off down the street. He had thrown a homemade bomb into the car park and blown up half of my grandparents' house.
Holy shit.
Luckily, everyone was safe, including my mom's cocker spaniel, Jason.
Jason the cocker spaniel.
Sorry. The police let Jason. Also, I just talked about my friend Jason.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
The police were alerted and they arrested the ex. They requested that my mom get a report from a medical professional with regards to her physical injuries so that they could include that in her indictment against the ex. Mm-hmm. As fate would have it, my dad was the doctor on call that day.
Girl.
And that's how he met my mom. The rest is history. They've been happily married for 27 years, have 2 kids, 10 dogs, and 3 cats together. Oh, I love it. I really hope you enjoy the story as much as I always do. Keep up the amazing podcast. It's so great to find a community of true crime lovers, and your podcast feels like home. Hope to catch you live someday. SSDGM, Kelly.
Kelly?
That's the best.
That was great.
For some reason, I read that headline. I pre-read the email, mm-hmm. and I didn't really... It's like I didn't notice the part with the doctor until I just read it this time.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it.
Ugh, I just want to know, like, their first meeting was like, you know?
Well, you know she wore that same workout outfit.
I was wondering if she was in her fucking spandex outfit. Like, she's going to stop by the doctor's real quick, and then she's going to go to the gym.
She's going to pull on those leg yes. warmers.
Yes.
Neon green.
All right. This one's called, My Grandmother Was Kidnapped. And then in parentheses, it says, she's okay. Hi, wonderful women, pets, and Steven. My grandmother used to work as a nurse's aide in an insane asylum in Connecticut in the 60s. Mm. Fairfield Hills was a psychiatric hospital in Newtown, Connecticut, that opened in the 30s and closed in the 90s. The massive campus still stands vacant. And of course, there are stories of hauntings because, I mean, it's an empty former insane asylum, for Christ's sake. When my Nana worked there, each employee would go to a central building to clock in every morning and then report to the building they worked in. This is a sprawling campus with dozens of buildings, and it was the middle of winter. So my grandmother ran into the main building, leaving her car unlocked, checked in, and ran back to her car to drive to her assigned building. After she turned on the car, she was suddenly shocked when a man popped up from the back seat, wrapped her neck with a piece of rope, and said, drive.
No.
She did as she was instructed. He gave random orders to turn left, right, seemingly not having a destination in mind, but he ended up having her drive about 20 minutes to North Waterbury, Connecticut, where he jumped out of the car and bolted. Thankfully, because she had checked into work but didn't show up minutes later to her assigned building, the staff immediately knew something was wrong. Apparently, this man was one of the patients who had escaped his room and was looking to get as far away from Fairfield Hills as possible. My Nana was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Listen to this fucking thing right here. Ready?
Okay.
They never did find the guy.
Oh.
As far as I know, but the rope he used to hold my grandmother was a raw, ragged thing, and it wore down the skin around her neck to the point where later on an EMT told her that if it had worn even a tiny bit further, it would for sure have cut her carotid artery.
Wow.
Carotid?
Carotid, yeah.
Corroded artery.
Well, it would have corroded or carotid.
Exactly. My Nana is one of the most badass women I know, whose favorite phrase is, I don't get mad, I get even. She turned 92 years old this year and would still manage to stay sexy and not get murdered in any situation she was in. Finally, even though this story is about someone breaking out of an insane asylum, I don't want to diminish mental health issues in any way. So I just want to thank you both for normalizing and being so upfront with your mental health. Fairfield Hills was a place where people like you or me would be locked up and forgotten.
That's right.
And I'm glad that it's closed and we're slowly moving toward a point where people can seek help without the threat of stigma. And that's definitely thanks to women like you.
Oh.
SSDGM Lauren.
God, that's so scary.
Fucking terrifying. Nana.
Did that happen at night?
It doesn't sound, well, I got to work. In my mind, it was the daytime.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But I was just immediately, cause you know, there's that, it made me think of that. There's the urban myth that was going around for a little while, warning people at the mall, like to check, because there's that story of the girl that gets into the car and there's a guy in the back seat or whatever. But that idea, like my car, I can see, in.
Yeah.
And even when I get into my car, I'll still look back and just make sure.
I do once in a while when it's really dark.
Do a little checky check.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, now you go.
How about the subject line? Whose toenails are these?
Love it.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Karen, Georgia Karen Associates. Yeah, that's right. I got two.
Shit.
I really like that more than I should have. I'm almost 50. I need to set the scene before I try to explain the thing I found in my basement wall. I live in a big Victorian house that has been transformed into a co-op housing unit for university and college students. We have 8 housemates, plus we usually have a couple of couch surfers crashing in our living room. So much fun. Mm.
Oh, I was going to say, what a mess. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, but you get up in the morning and you make some coffee and you may or may not smoke a joint. And then you just start playing cards. And there's like 4 people. You could immediately start playing games.
You want someone who always wants to hang out.
Yes.
All the time. You should join a commune.
I really should. You know what I should do is be a super creep and like open my house up to boarders.
Do it.
And just don't like do it. Pick.
Don't
pick people.
Do it.
And be like, you're here. You have to play Uno with me. Okay. It's not about me. And since the co-op has been operating since the 50s, a lot of people have drifted in and out of our house. The basement is an amalgamation of all the strange shit that's been brought into our house by generations of weird hippies. It's also an expansive basement with a lot of unfinished walls twisting into dark little rooms and hallways going nowhere in particular. Ugh. It gives me the creeps and I hate going down there. Recently, when I was looking for when I was looking in one of those weird little storage rooms for a bike pump, I saw something highly fucked up. It was a glass jam jar sealed with a cork and set down on a beam in an open wall, and it was filled to the top with human toenail clippings.
No, 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 no.
Just see it in your mind's eye.
No.
Oh, look at all the yellow crescents.
Stop it.
The hard yellow crescents.
Stop it.
I've asked many current and past housemates if they know anything about the toenail jar. One past housemate has seen it before and actually told me about the jar last year, and I hadn't believed them. In any case, no one has any idea who put it in our basement, how long it's been there, why it was put there, or whose toenails are in that jar. I wish I could say I threw it out, but I was afraid to touch it, and so was everyone else who has ever looked at it. SSDGM Emily.
That's awful.
It's so disgusting.
So weird that I really want to go through that basement.
Oh, with like a big old fluorescent, like a fluorescent beam.
I just want to go through all the boxes. I lived in a house like that for a little while, like in Echo Park, where like, I think that someone told me that the Brian Jonestown Massacre, the band, used to like, that was their house.
Oh.
And I'd actually been to parties there when I was younger. And so the basement was filled with like fucking people's shit who had to like jam and get the fuck out of there or whatever.
Right.
Like, I didn't take any. It was just like fun to look through people's shit.
I love it.
I'm a monster.
I love communal living.
Not the life for me.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want
to
solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills, because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
I'm not going to tell you the name of this one, but I will tell you that the theme of my stories today is grandparents.
Okay.
Because here's another one. Hello, all the wonderful people and animals of MFM.
Hey, that's one of the best ones yet.
Easy. Love it. I have quite the slew of stories I've been meaning to write into you. Murderous great uncle, survivor friend's mom, high school murders. However, once you mentioned writing in stories about secretives, my cousin... That can't be right. No, I get it. She wrote Secret Lives, but it was in one word.
Oh, she forgot to do the space.
Secret Lives.
About secretives, which is the professional name for
it. That's right. My cousin, who introduced me to your podcast, insisted I finally buckle down and write this thing. So here it is. Around April, I was cleaning out my grandparents' house where they had lived for 62 years now. They didn't pass, just had a lot of shit that needed to go, and came across some interesting things in the process. My grandmother, who we call Batchy, has always...
It sounds like batshit.
It does. B-A-T-C-H-I-E.
Batchy.
Batchy.
Okay.
Has always been known for the insane amount of photos she takes. So naturally, a lot of what I found was pictures. Lots of family from growing up, some of my mom and her sister when they were kids, etc. As I was working on the living room, cleaning all the wine glasses on display with Batchy, she was telling me about the good old days and how all her, quote, intimate friends would come over and they would have a great time. But, quote, of course not when the children were around. I was taken back by that statement, but I chalked it up to an 84-year-old woman with dementia talking about throwing crazy parties with her friends, getting drunk, playing cards, listening to Elvis records.
I'm into all of those things, and so is Elvis.
In the next few days, I found some interesting birthday cards from my nanny and Grandpa Meatball.
What the fuck?
My cousin's grandparents.
Is this a cartoon character writing into us?
I just love that. Like, funny names are the best. In the hall closet, which I again was like, they have a very uncomfortable sense of humor, but chalked it up to nothing other than that. And then the next paragraph says, okay, so I was wrong. It certainly wasn't nothing. I moved on to clean their bedroom. At this point, my Batchy and Papa were staying at my mom's house so I could be slightly more productive, and found a box of pictures under the bed, not being at all surprised by this because they were quite literally boxes of pictures everywhere. I opened the box to look at the photos and possibly have a few laughs about my mom's old boyfriends or whatever. All caps. Nope. Not pictures of my mom's old boyfriends or photos of us growing up. Instead, I found photos of my from my grandparents, all caps, swinger parties.
No, 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 no.
Steven is pointing at the, you have photos?
What?
Holy shit. Sweat. Oh my God.
Oh no, what I'm looking at right now.
She sent them to us.
Oh, she's, no.
She took them and sent them to us.
I love her, love her, love her. Look, are they old shit. People or are they new, young? Were they young?
They're middle-aged people, but it's in the 60s or 70s. I mean, 70s or 80s. But look, they're all in one bed like Charlie Bucket's grandparents. It's a bunch of adults in a bed under a sheet together, smiling like little devils.
Oh, my God. They are having so much fun. She's touching his penis in that photo, but you can't tell.
And laughing her ass off, too.
Oh, my God. They're like all like in one bed together.
Oh my God.
Let me see more. Holy shit.
There's a lot of them.
You guys.
Oh my God.
They're like all naked and
how many of these can we post?
I feel like
we can't post these.
I don't,
we
Steven's don't know. Shaking his head.
Unless
now.
Steven goes through and puts tiny black bars across everybody's eyes.
Look at this one. The thing is, like, they're in these suggested positions, but they're cracking up.
They're just being kind of funny, dirty, drunk.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it seems like. But also in a room that's paneled in,
wood paneling.
Twill wallpaper and then wood paneling on the bottom half. It's a 70. This looks like 1980 to me.
Yeah.
It's so brown.
And they look like 1980s, 40s. You know what I mean? Like they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
But they look old to us. Okay.
It also looks like people who probably drank a ton and were bored.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you all have a mustache or a beard.
Right.
We might as well just fuck
each
other.
Like you two fucked each other in high school. Like you've already seen his dick. Let's just all, I want to see your honey's dick or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Let me finish this. Don't put that away. I want to keep looking at it.
Okay.
My grandparents. So those are her grandparents' swinger parties and a few sex toys from way back in the day when my mom and aunts were growing up. And then I was mortified. I immediately took pictures of the photos and sent them to my cousins so they could be just as scarred as I was.
That's what I would do.
And had to take a break from cleaning the house for a little while.
Yeah, I bet you did.
As I pieced all these things together, I realized what I had just stumbled upon. These were all old people that I knew. All people I had dinner with and played cards with when I was young.
Oh.
My nanny and Grandpa Meatball were both featured in these photos, as well as a few other close friends of my grandparents. Needless to say, I can never really look at my grandparents the same way ever again.
Oh shit, the grandparents are still alive? Oh,
yeah, she was just cleaning their house.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought...
No, their battery's fucking kicking it. And I took my cousins down with me. There's still a lot of that house that needs to get cleaned out, but quite frankly, I'm horrified to do so.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the story of how I learned my grandparents were swingers. Stay sexy and don't look under your grandparents' bed. Delaney.
Okay,
Delaney. Delaney.
Delaney?
Like Melanie, but with a D.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm just saying, she just blew up her grandparents' spot so hard, like, because not that many people call their grandmother Batchy.
Yeah, totally. So people are going to know.
There's going to be people in that hometown that are like, excuse me, a what?
Yeah.
That's really insane.
This is just like, it's just, they're having so much fun.
Guys, sex is natural and sex is fun.
And then everyone does it.
Everyone's grandparents do it and take pictures of it.
Oh my God.
It also looks like they're doing it just to be like,
yeah,
just take a picture of this. We're being dirty on purpose.
Could be.
And what a gorgeous expression of human love.
That was fun. And then just the photo, like the fact that there are photos just made it.
I mean, I'm shocked. Do you want to hear this last one?
Absolutely.
Society mom or covert criminal? Lighthearted.
Okay.
Hello, MFMists. Oh, no. MFMinists.
Oh.
MFMinists. Okay. Nice one.
I'll take it.
You know what? That just moved up to number one. My daughter turned me on to your show, and now I never miss an episode. The Murderino community in Denver was a great support system for her when she moved across the country. So this dad thanks you all. Aww. You too, Stephen, from the bottom of my heart, for creating such a wonderful movement of awesome people. That's great.
Thank you.
I have a family story that I've never told anyone until now. My mom has always appeared from the outside as a very cultured and sophisticated woman. Now, in her 80s, she still runs volunteer organizations and goes to the theater and other fancy events. Mm. But people who know her history know that she grew up dirt poor
poor in Chicago and has always been a scrappy badass. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I bought my first real car. It was a Datsun B210. a little beater that cost like $250. After owning it a few months, I took it to a mechanic who said that the whole underside of the car was rusted out, and it was amazing that it was still holding together. A couple of days after that diagnosis, I woke up early one morning to find my mom trudging into the house out of breath with her clothes all dirty. She told me to get dressed, and then she drove me to the local mall where she told me to call the police and tell them my car was stolen. I did and made a police report, and a couple of days later the cops found the car deep in the woods about a quarter mile away from our rural Virginia house, banged up and a wreck, apparently the victim of kids taking it out for a joyride. Only after the car was found did my mom tell me the real story. She had taken my car out, found some secluded dirt road, and tried repeatedly to crash it into a tree in an attempt to total it.
What?
But she was too scared to really commit to it. This was way before airbags. So after three or four good bangs, she thought she'd done a good enough job and abandoned the car.
What?
The thought of my society mom careening through the woods, trying, mostly unsuccessfully, to wreck my car made me laugh out loud. But she was very serious about it and made me swear that I wouldn't tell anyone, particularly not my dad, since it would technically be fraud or some shit and we could all get in trouble. Even though it happened 40 years ago, I've never told anyone that story until now. And now that it's out, I'm looking forward to revealing to my kids that their sweet old grandma is really a badass car smashing insurance fraud perpetrating criminal.
Oh my.
Stay sexy and don't be fooled by sweet old grandma's. Love, David.
Oh my God. That is unbelievable.
That is like a talk. That's like an old school version of a helicopter mom where she's like, you got ripped off.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of it. Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Don't worry about it. I got this. Oh my God.
So funny.
Please send us your emails. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com.
We enjoy them so much.
Please keep sending us these fucking hilarious, wonderful stories.
And also, please stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Hey, Elvis, you want a cookie? Good boy.
Nice one.
Oh, come on. I know.